Okay, we're going to start here on the two dots on the top of Chav Dalet Amid Aleph. The Gemara was discussing in the Braita, the Machloket, between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama. Tanakhama believes that a nursing animal does not necessarily have its own baby, and therefore we are worried if the baby that's attached to this mother is really the mother's baby. So the next baby born to this mother could be a Bechor, or if they were together in a corral, some of them giving birth to the first time, some for the second, third time, then we aren't sure as to which one belongs to the Mavkirot, which one belongs to the Enam of Kirot. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Davar Bechazkato. There's a Chazaka over here, and that Chazaka leads us to believe that if the mother is nursing, we can assume that that's her baby. And therefore, in a corral where there are multiple animals, some of them Mavkirot, giving birth for the first time, Shein Mavkirot, and some of them that are have given birth before, we can assume that the babies there, which each one belong to that mother. Firstborn are together with the mothers giving birth for the first time, and the mothers who are giving birth second, third, fourth time, the babies with them are from that birth. And that will help us out in terms of not having problems of Sabek Bechor. The Gemara now raises, what is exactly the Chazakah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? There are two possibilities of looking at the Chazakah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. One Chazakah is that a mother who has milk production and there's a baby with her as nursing, the assumption is that that mother is the mother of the baby that's found with us. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that a mother has milk production and has a baby that is nursing from her, for sure gave birth. We're uncertain as to whether this child is the exact child of what she gave birth to, but a mother will only act motherly and have that nature of nursing an animal if it already had given birth. Both of those will end up being poter yu min ha-bechorah, because mimon nafshach, this mother gave birth. Whether the child that's with her right now is her baby or not is irrelevant, but the fact that this is indication that she had given birth already makes it patur, makes her patur from the bechorah going forward. Now it does make a nafkamina, like in the case where we had in the Braita, which the Gemara will ask from our Braita, is a case where you find the children together with the mothers, can you assume that that child belongs to the mother? The Gemara is going to address that in 1 second, but that's the Gemara's question that's going to pause it right now on the Chazak of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. By the way, Devar Bechezkoto de Kamar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. De'ena merachemet, elim ken yoledet. That she is only merachemet, she only acts motherly, in a motherly nature, and nurses a child if she gave birth. Ha? Hecha de olid chayshinan de ruchume, oduma di da merachma, when we assume that she has this motherly instinct and she nurses a baby, does that just mean she will only nurse if she gave birth? That's the only piece of information we have. Or do we say she will only nurse her own, not anyone else? And again, we just spoke about the difference here. Of course, both of them end up or land you with being patur min ha-bechorah. The important nafkamina between them is the fact that can we assume that the baby she's nursing is hers? It's the my nafkamina. When it says the milk Allah mishim oto ve'ed beno, can we give malkot for the iser of oto ve'ed beno? Oto ve'ed beno, if we know for certain that the mother and the child are being shechted on the same day, you'll get malkot from it. But that's only if we can assume that the child is her child bevadai. So yeah, mar didam rachma delo didalom rachma. If you say when she nurses, she will only nurse her own child, then lucky, you'll get makot for shechting them on the same day. If you say the only indication birth gives us is that she will nurse, and the nursing could be with anybody, meaning it could be with her own child, it could be with someone else. Therefore, we don't have evidence, the fact that she's nursing here, that this is her child, bivadai, then it's a safek. And lo lucky, we can't give you a makot, mi safek. My, what's the din? Tashma. So we're going to bring down our Braita, our Mishnah, all of these, go through them to see if we can prove what exactly is the chazak of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel omer, alokeach behema mina uvid kochavim, enu choshesh shemesh bina shel acheret haya. Shimon Gamliel, when you purchase a behema from uvid kochavim, says we don't worry about the fact that this might be someone else's child. So if it won't be someone else's child, therefore you can assume the next child she has is not a bechor. So in quoting our Mishnah, sounds like it's absolute that this is her child. Gemara says, miktani, who? It doesn't say that Shema Banasha Lacheret, who, you don't have to worry about it, it's someone else's child, but rather, Hayatani. Haya, what does that mean? Hikamar. Enu Khoshesh, Shema Banasha Lacheret, Elim Ken Haya Lal Vlad Miikara. You don't have to worry about the fact that it's someone else's child, unless it had something from beforehand. Meaning that, only thing, the only evidence we have from there is that it gave birth. Fatur Min HaBechorah, because, Mimonot Shach. Either it is her child, or she's nursing someone else's child. But she will only nurse someone else's child if she gave birth already. So the fact that she is nursing now is clear indication that she did give birth. If she gave birth, you're patur min habechura. Again, we have no evidence as to which direction Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going. Because of the usage of the word haya, according to the Gemara, instead of who, haya opens up another explanation, which is, enu choshesh, shema b'na shel acheret, elim ken haya la v'lad mi'ikara. We only worry about the fact that she would be nursing someone else's child if she already gave birth. It's an indication that she gave birth, which is all that we're worried about over here. Tashma, our breakta that we brought before, nichnas b'toch edro, v'ra'ata mavkirot menikot, v'chein mavkirot menikot, enu choshesh, shema b'na shel zu, b'yelo eitzel zu. Seems obvious from the Braita that if he says not only the fact that they are Pturim and Abichorah with the next child, but the child that is with them is Badai, their child. We say that all the mothers that are giving birth for the first time, they are with their children. All the mothers that have given birth already, whoever they have is their child. So you see, not only is the Chazaka that they will nurse when they've given birth, but they'll be nursing their own. So am I. Why do you say this? Lechosh Dilma Rechumei Rachim. Maybe she's nursing someone else. How do you know for sure that the mothers who haven't given birth yet are actually nursing their own children? So now the Gemara adds an additional aspect to this. V'makom dida, l'shkavka dida merachmat lo dida. If she has her own and another party, she will always nurse her own versus another party. So that's part of the chazaka, that's a given. If she has her own child there, and there's another option, another child, she will not nurse the other child. So if we know for sure she gave birth, and her child is there, and she's nursing the child, everyone's nursing their own child, we can assume it is their child, because they will not exchange their child for someone else. Our question is, if for whatever reason her child is taken away, then will she nurse another child? So Tashma, then Breita again, it says, in the Breita, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Davar Bechezkato, V'chein. And then it gives the V'chein, which is the Seifa there. You go through your aid there in the middle of the night, and you see them all giving birth. My love, Reisha, do me the Seifa. The ratio is similar to the Seifa. Ma Seifa Vadai Dido. Just like in the Seifa, which we just explained, it's definitely her child. Because over there, we assume that whatever she's nursing is her own child. Av Reisha Vadai Dido. So then, so too, when Rabbi Shimon made a statement, Davar Bechezkato, he meant Vadai Dido. When it says Midiria, why do you have to say such a thing? Hadakiita, Vahadakiita. Each one, the ratio is dealing with its case, the Seifa with its case. Umay Vechein. Why does it say Vechein? Vechein seems to connect between the statement of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Devar Chazgato, and then it says Vechein in the Braita. And means like they're two are equivalent. The ratio and Seifa are equivalent. Apturah de Bechora. Yeah, they're equivalent in being poter you from Bechor. It's irrespective of whether the child is yours. In the Seifa, it's true that the Torah Bechor comes from the fact that we know for certain that this animal is nursing its own child, but that's because its own child is available. In the ratio, when it's talking about the Baruch HaZkato, it's also Pater Mim Bechora, but not because we're certain it's its own child, but we're certain that if it's nursing, it gave birth. Amar Rabba Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we have this interesting case. Ra'a Chazir Shekoruch Achar Rachel. You have a pig that is nursing from a ewe. Tura Min HaBechora. That ewe is Pater Mim Bechora. We can assume that she gave birth. Va'asur Ba'achila, but you cannot eat that Chazir. Ad Yovil V'yored Tzedek Lechem. Until a Yel Novi comes and gives guidance, and gives Hora'ah on this. Patur min ha-bechorah, why is it patur min ha-bechorah? Kiman, which is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Chazaka, that if it's nursing, it vadai gave birth. So over here, since it's nursing a pig, it vadai gave birth to something. Va'asur v'achila ki rabbanan. It's asur v'achila like the rabbanan. Rabbanan mujur, the Tana Kamo of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Braito, that we're choshesh, that it's someone else's child, that it's not her own child. If it had been her own child, then it'd been fine. We say a tamei that's born to the tahor is mutar v'achila. We're just not certain that it's her child. So it sounds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is paskening the fact that you're patur min habechora mimonoshach, because chezkato that she gave birth. And by achila, we're paskening like the rabbanon that we're choshesh for the fact that maybe it's not its own child. V'tzu, the Gemara says, ikir rabbanon, maya adjevo yored tzedek lachem. Why do you need to wait for hora'ah from Eliyahu Navi? Ad shi yivada lecha davar mi ba'ilei. Hora'ah, as Rashi points out, there are two different things that a Beit Din can paskin on. A Beit Din can paskin on the law, or a Beit Din can paskin on the facts. Over here, we need a determination of the facts, not a determination of the law. A determination of facts is not called hora'ah. Hora'ah is a specific term used for adjudication of the law, or determination of the law, a safek in the law itself. But here we have a safek in the facts, not a safek in the law. We know what the law is. We just need to know what the status of this animal is. So the word hora'ah is misappropriated over here. It shouldn't be used. It should be ivada. Hora'ah sounds like there's a psak here. If you think the other suffix here, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ikar Rabbanon, the reason he's saying this is because he thinks this is a fake in Aloha between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon. Then you should go to Chumrah. Why would you say that it's Patur Min HaBechorah? If you go in the Chumrah and you're saying it's a Safek where we go, then the next one should be Safek Bechor, and this should be Safek Bechor. But two, me Misfek Lay. Do you really have a Safek? We have a statement. A definitive statement that whenever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel speaks in the Mishnah, the Halacha is like him. Chutz, Mi'arev, V'tzidan, V'raya Achrona. Three Mishnayot, where the Halacha is not like him. But any other Mishnah, the Halacha is like him. And here he's found in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Yochanan says the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So how do we explain this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which, number one, says that you're Patur Min HaBechora, which sounds like it's passing like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but still making an Asur Be'achila, which seems to indicate that there is some sort of safek here. Is that safek within Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Or is there safek coming from something else? So where it says, Olam, Shitalei, the Halacha of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Mihu, Misfekele, Isav Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Yoledet, Mirachemet? Oena Mirachemet. Question is, our question over here, does a Yoledet Mirachemet on others or not? Our question, which is, does she nurse others? Do we say a Yoledet will nurse anything? Or do we say that a nursing mother will nurse her own, but not anything else? So if that's the safek here, why are you telling me about a pig? Why don't you take me to tell me about a case of a teleh? The same nafkamina that we said before. That the nafkamina, if that's your safek, the nafkamina can even be in teleh, whether you're going to get malkot for a tove beno or not. Why are you going to tell me this crazy, wild case of a chazir? When it says chazir, it's trichaleh. He needed to tell us about this case of Chazir. Had it taught us Tleh, Havamino, I would have thought, Imtim Salom Adasavar Yoledet Mirachemet. Even if you'd hold that a birthing mother will nurse even something that's not her own child, Dimino. That's only when it's in her species. Delomino lo. So maybe when it's outside of its species, that would not be the case. So Ashminon Chazir. So he taught me this case of Chazir, the Afilu Delomina Nami, the Ika the Meymar, Dilmam Rachma. Poor purpose of positing the case as a Chazir is to show you that if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that a birthing mother will nurse other animals, that we say that not only for its own species, but in period. It will nurse, period. So if this pig is nursing from it, maybe it's because she gave birth and her child's not around, therefore she's nursing the pig. Or maybe it's because it is her child. This pig, for whatever reason, it looks like a pig, was her child, and that's why she's nursing it. And that's the safek we have in Shimon Gamliel. So Mimon of Shach, you patur min ha-bichora. Mimon of Shach, no matter what the story is, because either this pig is her child, or she's nursing the pig because she had a child. Either way, she was a Yoledet, and the next child born to her is going to be for sure not a Bechora. She's for sure Patur Min HaBechora. Now, in terms of Achila, that's a bigger question. If this pig is hers, you can eat it, because it's Tameh born to Tahor. On the other hand, if this pig is an outsider, and it's nursing from her because she'll nurse anything because she gave birth and her child's not around, then you can't eat the pig, because the pig's an outsider. It's a non-kosher animal. So that's the question about Achila, and that's why the Halacha will be Patur Min HaBechora, but Asur BaAchila. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and that's the way we just explained it. This situation is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Baya chai biribi, chai the gadol ador, Adam Choshev, ra'ach chazir shekaruch achar Rachel mahu. If you see a chazir that's chasing after Rachel mahu, meaning that it's nursing from this you, what's the din? Ma'kami pa'ilei. So Rabbi Yochanan says, what is he asking? Ilema lebechora. If he's asking about Bechorah, come up by Ilei, Yalucho Tokar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Yalucho Tokar, Rabbanon, and he says, Safek, whether the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or the Rabbanon, Tibay Ilei Teleh. Then he could ask the question with the Teleh. He doesn't have to bring in Chazir. Kikami by Ilei, and here you're missing some words here from the Girsa. Kikami by Ilei, the Rav Achai, Yoledet Kami by Ilei. He's asking about a case of Yoledet. Le Bechorah, Velibe de Rabbanan. Question in the Chazir is for the din of Bechor with regards to the Rabbanan, and the din of Achila according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Libichora v'afil Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who believe that an animal will nurse, even it's not its own child, it's not an indication that it's its child for sure. Damim Rachma, that she will have a mother instinct, she will nurse other children. Ki mirachma d'mina. Do we say that when she's mirachemet, it's only on her own species? D'lo mina lo. But if it's not her own species, she would never nurse. Or Dilma. D'lo mina, na mirachma. So can we say for certain that this is its child? If you say that it does not nurse outside of its species, and here it's nursing this pig, it's for sure its child. Whereas, if you say that she will nurse anything, even if it's not her own child, then, over here also, maybe it's nursing this pig that is not her child. And it has nothing to do with her giving birth necessarily. Possibility, a miut, the possibility that she would be nursing even though she did not give birth. Or she gave birth, it's not necessarily her child. And for achilo, the same safek of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is the safek that we just mentioned before. Imtim salomar savar yoledet mirachma demina, la mina lo. Do we say that when a yoledet gives birth, she will only nurse her own species? But then that's not her species, no. Odilma, la mina, na mirachma. Maybe even it's outside of its species, it's mirachma teiko. We don't have an answer to this question. If you say, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because possibilities, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that it does not nurse on the outside. Whatever it's nursing is its child, and that's it, period. That's one possibility of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But if you go the other way and say Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that it will nurse outside of its child if its child's not around, will it nurse only its own species, or will it nurse outside species? And again, that'll have an afkamina in terms of whether you can eat it or not. If it's for sure its own child, then you can eat it. So if you believe that it only nurses its own child, then for sure you can eat it. If you think it nurses only its own species, then again you can eat it, because it wouldn't be nursing a pig unless it's its own species. It means that it's its own child. And if you believe, which is the last possibility, that it will nurse anything, then over here we have no evidence as to whether this is its child or that it's its own species. And therefore, you couldn't eat it. And that's why we have a safek in achila, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Yochanan's passing like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and saying, number one, the gabei b'chora, you're vaday poter over here. Because this child that is either its own, or even if it's from outside, either way, it's an indication that this mother gave birth. If this mother gave birth, the next child is for sure not a b'chor. And in terms of achila, there we're left with the safek. Because if it is its child, then you could eat it. If it's not its child, then you can't eat it. And that's safek, for that reason, you cannot eat it. And that explains the statement of Rabbi Barchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan before, but it leaves our question as a teiku, leaves our question open, which is, when there's a chazaka that a yoledet nurses, we don't know whether that means a yoledet nurses only her own child, or does it mean that a yoledet nurses, period, whether it's own child or not. Again, we modified that or qualified that to say that if its own child is around, it for sure will not nurse something else, but in the absence of its own child, will it nurse another animal? We left that as an open teiku. We don't have an answer to that question. If its own child is there, for sure it'll be nursing its own child. So if you have 15 mothers and all of them have a child next to them, then we know for certain that they all gave birth to these children because they would not exchange their own child for something else. It's only a question when we have this animal with a child and there are other animals around, we don't know anything about the history of this child and the possibility that this is someone else's child. That's where this fake comes about. All right, next Mishnah. Next Mishnah, we're going to get a start. Next Mishnah really goes down. There's some fundamental machlokot here in the Mishnah itself, in the first part of the Gemara. And then tomorrow we'll deal with the other aspect of the Gemara, which is the aspect of psikreshin. We'll tangentially touch it today, but at the beginning of tomorrow's daf, we'll have the issue of psikreshin, and then we'll deal with that in tomorrow's daf, when we discuss tomorrow's daf. But for right now, just beginning the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam Omer. Remember that we saw Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam before, because Rav Paskan Olocho, like Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. HaShocheta de Bechor. Person who comes to be Shocheta Bechor, Ose Makom Bekupitz. He can make a place to shecht with the kupitz. Now, a bechor can be around for a long time. It's waiting to get a mum. And in waiting to get a mum, its wool can grow very long and tangled. And here you want to do shkita. It may be very hard to get to the throat of this animal because of all the wool that is twined around the neck and been mistabich that is knotted around its neck. So what you're allowed to do is take the kupitz and clear out the wool that's around the makom hashkita. We do not say that that's an iser mishum giza. That's not a problem of gozes. We're not considering it because you're not allowed to be gozes the bechor. So here we say this is not qualified or classified as giza. Clear out that area. Now why you clear out the area? According to Rashi, it's because it would be a problem of chalada. If you do not clear out the area, remember when we did it in Chulin, when we dealt with shkita, some of the psulim of shkita, one of the psulim of shkita was chalada, which is that if you put the knife, you insert the knife in, and it's covered. It's, you're not cutting from the outside, but you insert it, and the knife is covered on both sides. So there, here, if you were to take the knife and insert it, it would be covered by the wool on the outside. Now, truthfully, the Gemara in Chulin asked this question, and left it as a teku. The Gemara had no answer to that question. When it asked about wool, whether wool is classified as chaladah or not, if you insert the knife in under the wool into the neck to do the shechita, if that's considered chaladah, Gemara leaves that as a teku. But Rashi says that's the issue in our Mishnah, and that's why you have to have the kupitz to clear away the wool. Tosafot says he doesn't like that explanation because he says that the Gemara left it as a teku in chulin. So why would that be the issue in our Mishnah? But rather, he says that the reason that the Mishnah over here said that it was a kupitz, normally you don't shecht with a kupitz. You shecht with a sakin, with a knife. So when you have a knife, it's easier to get into the location. A kupitz is much wider, it's bigger. The hatchet is much bigger. So you need to clear out a wider space in order to allow for the kupitz to go in. So because of that, we allow you, we say that's not a problem of gizah, to open up that area in order to make the shechita easier for you with this kupitz. Not that there's a halachic issue with chaladah, it's a practical issue. You want to do shechita, to get the kupitz in, you need to clear the space out, and we allow you to do this, and don't say that it's qualified or classified as being a problem of gizah for a bechor. So that's it. You pull away the wool, you pull away the hair, but since it's intertwined with other wool, other hair there, when you clear it away, you just leave it hanging on the other hair. You don't pull it off, you don't take it off, you just leave it there. The same din will apply to someone for who needs to bring it to the Chacham. It's bringing it to the Chacham to show mamum, to see if this qualifies as a Bechor Baal Mum and they can shecht it. He's allowed to clear away the area, similar to today when someone needs surgery and there's hair around the area, they shave away the hair in order to be able to see where they're making the incision. So over here, if you need to see the mum clearly, you're allowed to cut away the hair, cut away the wool in order to be able to see it. The same reason that it's not classified as gizah. Now Amarov, halacha to Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, that's the statement that we had quoted before, that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. By me neighbor of Huna, kenegdo biyom tov mahu. What is the din like this on Yom Tov? On Yom Tov, you come to shecht the behemah, you're allowed to do shechita on Yom Tov, it's ochel nefesh. So now you come to shecht an animal that has this same problem, it has a lot of wool around its neck, it has a lot of hair around its neck. Are you allowed to cut away that wool, cut away that hair, in order to perform the shechita on Yom Tov? Time of the Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam is the reason for Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam in our Mishnah, Mishum de Kasavar. Tolesh lav hainu gozeis, that Tlisha and Giza are two different dinim. One is Tolesh, one is Gziza. Ubi Yom Tov Asur. And on Yom Tov, Tlisha would be Asur. Davale oker davar migidulo. Because you're plucking something away from its growth, or where it grows. Oh, Dilma, or maybe Ba'alma Savar Biosi Bimishalom, Tolesh hainu gozeis. Tolesh is a derivative of gozeis. V'hainu taima deshari. This is the reason that it's mutar. Davalei davar she'eno mitkavein. Because you're not being mitkavein to do gizah over here. Your kavanah is to simply move away the hairs. Yom tov davar she'eno mitkavein mutar. And on the Yom Tov, a davar she'eno mitkavein is totally mutar. Just like on Shabbat, davar she'eno mitkavein is mutar. So let's take a step back and understand what's going on here. First of all, what is the difference between tlisha and gizizah? So some suggest the difference between tlisha and gizizah is whether you use a kli or your hand. Tlisha is done by hand. Gziza is done with a kli, some utensil that is used. Either scissors, a knife, it's cut. The other possibility what the difference between tlisha and gziza is, that tlisha is that you uproot it. You pluck it out of its roots. Gziza means that you cut it. The roots are still there. So the difference between shaving, where you shave and you get to cut the hairs on the face, versus where you uproot the hairs, you pluck the hairs out. We've seen that difference in Nazir as well. So that's the difference between Tlisha and Gziza. The Gemara's question, according to Rashi at least, seems to be of whether it has to be an issue of Enu Mitkavein or not the Mitkavein. Rashi is saying, if the Tlisha is not classified as Gziza, then even the Kavana, you can go in and cut it. You can cut it with kavana, it's not a problem whatsoever, because tlisha does not equal gziza. The only isser by bechor is gziza. You're not performing gziza, you're performing tlisha. And in performing tlisha, you're not in violation of gziza, you can do it with intent to do tlisha. On the other hand, maybe the reason that you are patur over here is because it's davar she'enu mitkavein, as Rashi says. You're allowed to move the hair from side to side. You use the kupitz to clear the hair away side to side. If it happens to pull away, that's fine. But that's not your intent. Your intent is not to cut it away. Your intent is not to be tolei shit with your hands. But when you spread it away, it might happen. So that's davar she'eino mitkaven. Davar she'eino is mutar. That's as long as it's eino mitkaven. If you're mitkaven to pull it out, then you would have a problem over here. So the Gemara is going to Yom Tov to determine that difference. Because in Yom Tov, it would make a big difference. In Yom Tov, davar she'eino mitkaven would mean that it's mutar on Yom Tov. If it's a mutar on Yom Tov, that would tell us over here by Bechor that it's also mutar, but mutar only v'davar she'eino mitkaven. If by Yom Tov it's a sur, that's telling us that the reason that by Yom Tov it's asur is because it's tlisha. Tlisha is asur by Yom Tov. By Bechor, tlisha is not asur. So if by Yom Tov it's asur, it's because tlisha is a problem of oker davar mi gidulo. But by Bechor, we don't have that problem. You'd be allowed to do it. Even by Kavana, you'd be allowed to pull them out because tlisha does not equal gziza. So according to Rashi, that is the question of the Gemara. He's posing the question as a question in Yom Tov, but to determine really what the underlying halacha of Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam is. Is it halacha in davar she'eino mitkaven, or is it halacha in tlisha, lav hainu gziza? And obviously it has a major nafkamina in Yom Tov. So Amar lehu, zilu shailu le Rabbi Chavav Chanano. So Rav Huna says, they posited this question to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, go ask Rabbi Chanano what the din is. Now Rashi points out, Rav Chanano is a Talmid of Rav. He's one of the Talmidim of Rav. Rav Huna is also a Talmid of Rav. So it's a little bit strange that he's sending it over to Rav Chanano, who's a Talmid of Rav. So he says, Iyamar Alokha Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam. If he says the Alokha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, if shiduchu, then I'll answer your question. Aiti shaluhu, they went to Rav Chanano and asked him the question. Namalu, Achiyamar Rav. So what Rav said, Alokha Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam. Ata lekamei Rav Huna, they returned to Rav Huna and asked him the question. Namalu, Kinegdo biyom tov mutar. If Rav says Alokha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam here, it's because it's davar she'eino mitkaven. And therefore, by Yom Tov would also be mutar because it's davar she'eino mitkaven. So that's the conclusion, right? How did he know that? So that's the Gemara is going to deal with how exactly he knew that. Rav, we know, holds certain things by Yom Tov, and maybe that'll indicate to us, that'll be tomorrow's Gemara. We'll take time to figure out why he said that or why he concluded exactly that. But right now his conclusion is that if halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam and our Mishnah, the halacha is also in Yom Tov, the davar she'eino mitkaven is mutar, and that's the reason for all of this. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. There's a large Tosfot over here, and this Tosfot says that that can't be the issue at hand here. That can't be the reason. It doesn't make sense. Because they could have asked this question even without Yom Tov. Why did the Gemara bring in the issue of Yom Tov to determine of whether it's davar she'eino mitkaven, or tlisha does not equal gziza, therefore it could be mitkaven? He says, you could have just asked the question straight out. Are you allowed to do tlisha on a bechor bekavana? That's the exact question that you're asking. According to Rashi, the question that you're really asking is, does it have to be eino mitkaven when you do the tlisha by the bechor? Or can you do it even bimitkaven? What's the difference? Well, it's a question of, it's an issue of a davar she'eino mitkaven, or it's an issue of tlisha eino gziza. But that you could have just posited the question directly in Bechor. Why do you have to go to Yom Tov to ask the question if in Bechor you could have asked the exact same question? For that reason, Tosfot explains that even bitlisha, lav hainu gziza, even if you were to say that tlisha does not equal gziza, you still could only do it b'eino mitkaven. You can only do it if it's davar she'eino mitkaven, because there's an iser derabanan. There's an iser derabanan to do tlisha bikavana. And this is the Gemara's question. Gemara's question over here, what is the nature of the isur? So dilma dafka b'chor de tolish lav hainu gozeis veleka iser deoraita hu deshari davar she'eino mitkaven. Aval b'yom tov deiko iser mi deoraita deoker davar miglo lo sharinan b'eino mitkaven. Odilma b'chor nami iko isura deoraita detolei shainu gozeis v'hiyeke deshari b'chor mishum deino mitkaven sharinan b'yom tov. Tosfot says the question here is, can we use b'chor as a paradigm to teach us about Yom Tov? Tosfot says, both cases here, it's a question of davar she'eino mitkaven. You're not intending to do the tlisha. But the question is, why is it that davar she'eino mitkaven is mutar over here? Is davar she'eino mitkaven mutar over here because there's only an isur derabanan? Or is davar she'eino mitkaven mutar over here even in the face of an isur d'oraita? Well, that depends on what you think Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam is saying. If Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam in the Mishnah is saying that tlisha lav hainu gziza, tlisha is not gziza. If tlisha is not gziza, that means that mid'oraita, you could even do it bi'kavana. There's an Isser Drabonon to do Tlisha on a Bechor. So therefore, Dover Shein Mitkavein takes care of that. So Dover Shein Mitkavein that takes care of this Tlisha, that's only in a Din Drabonon. So we can't extrapolate that to Yom Tov, which is a Din De Oraita. And that'll be the question of the Gemara. Can you extrapolate it to Yom Tov? If you say Tlisha Lavainu Kziza, that means that our Mishnah is only discussing an issue Drabonon. And if you come to Yom Tov where it's an Isser Doraita, because there we say, Oker Davar Minigidu Lo, which would be an Isser Doraita on Yom Tov, then Davar Shemait Mitkavein will not help you. Or, do we say the reason that Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam says by Bechor, Tlisha is okay, is because it's a Davar Shemait Mitkavein. Tlisha is a subset of Gziza. You are a problematic Midoraita. Why are you Pator here? Because it's a Davar Shemait Mitkavein. That shows you that in Bechor, Davar Shemait Mitkavein is powerful enough to be mutar in the face of Doraita. Well, then I can extrapolate it to Yom Tov. By Yom Tov too, even though there's Nisa Doraita, I can extrapolate it to Yom Tov and say, Davar Sheino Mitkaven is sufficient to make it mutar. So according to Tosafot, this is a fundamental question in Davar Sheino Mitkaven. Is the heter here of Davar Sheino Mitkaven only applicable to Dinei Dirabonon? Or is Davar Sheino Mitkaven also applicable to Dinei Doraita? And that will be determined by our Mishnah here in Bechor. Our Mishnah in Bechor is, what's the reason it's mutar? If you say the reason it's mutar is because Tlisha, Lav Hainu Gziza, that makes the whole Mishnah Din Derabonon, and the reason you're mutar is because Davar Shein Mitkavein, the face of Isu Derabonon. But if you say that Tlisha is a subset of Gziza, and therefore we're dealing on a Doraita level, and nevertheless, by Bechor we say Davar Shein Mitkavein is mutar, then it has broader implications. I can apply it to Yom Tov where there's an Isser Doraita. I can apply it to any Isser Doraita. Davar Shein Mitkavein would be mutar. Conclusion of the Gemara was, yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam in the Mishnah. And therefore, Rav Huna assumed that it was because of Davar Shein Mitkavein and a Din Doraita. So if it's a Din Doraita, then I can apply it also to Yom Tov and say Davar Shein Mitkavein is mutar be Yom Tov, even in the face of a Doraita. So Rashi learns it as being a question about whether you can do a bit kavana or shalom bit kavana, that would be the nafkamina between whether Tlisha is a subset of Gziza or not. First close what says that the nafkamina is whether Davar Shein Mitkavein is a matir only by Dine de Rabbanan or also by Dine de Oraita. Even though later on the Gemara is going to bring a Din de Rabbanan, that it's going to try to prove from that that it should be mutar on Yom Tov. So it's extrapolating a Din de Rabbanan to Yom Tov, which is a Din de Oraita, which would upend or undermine his position. Nevertheless, Tosfot says there's a difference in Derabbanans. It's another fundamental thing Tosfot says is that certain Derabbanans, because they simulate a Doraita. And that's what Tosfot says. The Gemara later on is speaking about a Derabbanan that is Asur in other places Doraita, but here it happens to be also Mi Derabbanan. So when the Rabbanan instituted such a Derabbanan, it was Ke'in Doraita. Because it's mimicking a Doraita. Somewhere else it would be Asur Doraita. Over here it just happens to be Asur Mi Derabbanan. Over there you could extrapolate from that Derabbanan to Doraita because there Derabbanan were Koveya like a Doraita. On the other hand, there are certain Derabbanans, like over here. If you say Tlisha is not Gziza, nevertheless, Bikavana, you're not allowed to do it. So there, Tlisha will never reach the level of Doraita. If you do a Kelachar Yad, it will never reach the level of Doraita, because no matter what, no matter where and what you do it, it will always be a Din Derabbanan. It's a Din Derabbanan to prevent you from coming to a Doraita, but it has no paradigm in the level of Doraita. From that Derabbanan, you cannot extrapolate to a Doraita, and that's the case of our Mishnah. The case of Bechor in our Mishnah, according to Tosafot, when it told Shlav Hainu Gziza, means that Tlisha will never reach the level. No matter what you do in Tlisha, you can't reach the level of Doraita. The Rabbanan said, in that case, don't do a Bikavana. But even if you did a Bikavana, you would never reach a Doraita. So from that Derabbanan, Tosafot says you cannot extrapolate to a Doraita. But if you have a Derabbanan, which is simulating a Doraita, and in other places would be also Doraita, over there you could extrapolate from that Doraita. And so that's how Tosafot separates between the case here and our Mishnah, and later on the Gemara, where it tries to prove from something that's Derabbanan. Tosafot, in the end, likes the way he explains the Sugya. He's very happy with the way he explains it. He says everything falls into place. In defense of Rashi, the last lines of this big Tosafot over here, he says, V'im nifaresh, if you want to say like Rashi, Lav tolesh, lav anu gozeh, shari afili tolosh mimit kavein, that you'll have to take it out of yin bikavana. Tzarech lamar, delekaman shari, kenegdo biyomto, mishum davile oker davar migidulo kalachayat. The reason that they allow it is because it's oker davar migidulo kalachayat. It's not the normal way to do it. Afilu mimit kavein litolosh namishari, and therefore even bikavana it would be okay. Shetira Chachamim Shlo Tidkadel Shkidato B'Yom Tov. The Chachamim were matir. They waived their restriction when it's Kelach Yad in order to allow one to do Shkita on Yom Tov. So we'll say over here, according to Tosafot, says if you learn like Rashi, you will still have a manifestation of this where you could do it by mitkavein. By Bechor, you can for sure do it by mitkavein, because Gziza is the only thing that's Asur, not Tlisha. By Yom Tov, where Tlisha is a problem of Oker, Dover, Migidulo, you also cannot do it, but you could do it when you did it Kelach Yad. Do it Kelach Yad, first of all, Oker, Dover, Migidulo. It's Kelach Yad, which would only be an Isser, it's Pator Valasser, which would be only Isser Derabonon. So it says the Rabbanon would waive that Isser Derabonon in this case to allow people to do Shkita on Yom Tov in a manner that is efficacious, efficient, and therefore they were not gozer in that case. And therefore, even v'mitkavein, when it's kilach yad, you would be allowed to do it according to Shita Drashi. Okay, Tosafot doesn't learn the Gemara this way at all. Tosafot learning the Gemara that everything here is dealing with the case of enu mitkavein. So it's a question if we're dealing with a level derabonon or even on a level deoraita. Okay, we'll stop over here.